I'm so sorry. Yeah, last. Priscilla Temba, the chairperson of Labour and Public Enterprises, representing Mpumalanga. You are all more than welcome. Didi, we appreciate your presence in this meeting. I can see that Productivity SA has got your rating. Members will introduce themselves, and those who arrive late, I'll introduce them from here. Honorable Groenewald.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, member of this committee and representing the Northwest Province.
Well, good morning. My name is Ornel De Beer. I am a member of the committee and representing the interests of the Western Cape.
Good morning. My name is Renelle Barretta. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning. I am Lolia Sidis. I'm the committee secretary.
DJ, over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members. My name is Nkosinathi Ndlovu. I work for the Department of Labour. And I would accordingly ask, with your permission, Chair, that our delegation introduces itself. And of course, starting on my extreme right, even though that's not political, next to where you are, and I realize, Chair, that he's also on your right. Yeah, so he's on the right of the right. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. My name is Bongani Xoka, the CEO of Productivity SA. On my right-hand side, I have Mr. Peggy Dlamini, who is our Chief Financial Officer. And next to Mr. Peggy Dlamini, we have the Chairperson of the Board of Productivity SA, Mr. Alvey Nell. And next to Mr. Nell, we have a board member by the name of Mr. Jonas Musia. And then we also have a government representative in our board by the name of Mr. Kola Sitwebu. And we're also privileged to also have Mr. Sam Morotoba, who's also a board member. So we have a significant number of board members present here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Nombo Melelo Mngonywa from the Office of the Minister.
My name is Thomas.
We've got it. Yeah, you press.
My name is Thomas Rasasala from Communication Media Liaison.
Mukadi Pela, Communication.
Johannes Mugou, Labour Communications.
Peter LaGrange, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Mdula Mitoto from Committee Section.
Tola Mnene, Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Labour.
My name is Lerato Monebati, Deputy Director General, Corporate Services Department of Labour.
My name is Pat Sibande, a member of the committee from Mpumalanga Province.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Mabija Libuhani, representing Limpopo Province and the whip of this committee. Thank you. Thank you very much. On our agenda, we are going to consider the report and the financial statement of the Productivity SA that was referred to this committee by Parliament. So without any waste of time, I'm going to ask Dr. Bongani to present, whoever is presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Alvin Nell, the Chairperson of Productivity SA, and our board members have been introduced, so I will start straight away with the presentation. Honourable Chair, we will present today our finances, but we want to start off by who is Productivity South Africa. Productivity SA is an organisation for South African businesses, labour and government that advises, implements programmes, monitors solutions and evaluates progress in order to promote a more competitive South Africa. Now, our presentation today, we will deal with broadly what I just covered with Productivity South Africa, our mandate, our structure and governance, the vision and mission, strategic priorities, program focus, finance and administration. We will deal with highlights and challenges. I will cover up to vision, and then our CEO will continue from the mission part in his team. If we get to the mandate part, we are tasked with the responsibility of improving productivity in South Africa and then to serve the interests of government, business, and labor. Getting on to our structure and governance, broadly, we are Schedule 3A public entity, reporting to the Minister of Labour and, of course, to Parliament. We're a tripartite organisation, and our board is drawn from government, business and labour. Our organisational arrangement is that our head office is in Midrand, Johannesburg, and we've got two regional offices, KZN and Western Cape, although we are representative also in other provinces. Our vision is to lead and inspire a productive and competitive South Africa, and that is basically the story that we want to share with you and the members today, Honourable Chairperson. I'll give over to our CEO, Mr. Bongani Thoka. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Mr. Nell. In terms of our mission, because our mission explained what exactly we're doing, we improve the productivity of South Africa by advising, so we handhold, we implement programs, and we monitor solutions and evaluate our programs. So our programs can indicate the level of impact we have made through our interventions. And then in terms of priority areas, we've looked at ourselves and said there are certain key priority areas that we need to look at to improve how we're doing things. The first one is stakeholder management. Later when we present our challenges, you will notice that one of the things we indicate is the resources that we're having. But we do not just fold arms and complain about it. We are doing something about it. So we partner with stakeholders that are pursuing productivity improvement in the economy. So that's how we are able to make more impact than what our funds would be able to do. And then secondly, we continuously interrogate and look at our processes, tools, and techniques. We want to make sure that they are at the cutting edge. We use partnership with Asian Productivity Organization. We do research and ensure that our processes, tools, and techniques are improved. And then the third one, which is closer to both Portfolio Committee on Labour as well as this committee, is increasing provincial footprint. Earlier on, when the chairperson was making a presentation, you did note that we only have offices in Midrand, Western Cape, as well as KZN, but that doesn't inform our reach. We also touch on other provinces. So with focus on provincial footprint, what we intend doing is to set higher targets for those previously underserviced provinces. The underserviced provinces like Free State, Limpopo, Northwest, Northern Cape, and they exclude Gauteng, where we've been doing a lot of work. They exclude Western Cape, and they exclude KZN, where we have strong presence. But the other six provinces, we would want to make a bigger impact in the current financial year that started in March. And we've set targets around that, which we will be measured on. And then the other key focus area is improving responsiveness. We want to be measured on how long it takes to respond to a request. So if we get a query or an assistance, or we are being asked to go and assist either at an organization level or at a company level, how long does it take for us to respond? So we are setting measures in place, and we will be able to report on it on how. And improving responsiveness also looks at how long our interventions take. So if we undertook to take 6 months on a project and we achieve exactly that, or we do it much quicker, then it's an indication of our responsiveness. One of the ways in which our responsiveness is going to be measured, we will be asking our customers in terms of customer satisfaction survey as to what do they think about our responsiveness. And then the other issue is talent management. Productivity SA sells productivity knowledge, so we're about productivity knowledge. But we use people for doing that, so we need to make sure that we recruit the right talent, we grow the talent using internal resources as well as our partnership with Asian Productivity Organization, just to make sure that we have the best in terms of responding to productivity-related issues. But the other issue relating to talent management, it also means we need to have a succession plan in place to make sure that people grow and we are able to replace older staff. And it also making sure that we create a culture that will be able to attract and retain the staff. Later on, when we talk about the highlights, you would also see the results of this, that we've been able to improve on labor turnover. And then the other issue is to develop and secure knowledge. We are about productivity improvement, so we need to make sure that the knowledge we have within the organization is retained. So we put measures in place that will ensure that the knowledge is institutionalized. And then we also have an issue of demonstrating impact. When you are funded, people who are providing you with funding want to see the return on investment. So one of the areas that we'll be focusing on would be in the current financial year, we'll employ somebody that will focus on monitoring and evaluation. And it will not be just a question of dealing with outputs, which is what you normally see in our report, but also go to the next level of saying what impact did we make with our interventions. And then we also have the issue of growth and sustainability, which is touching to one of the challenges we're going to raise earlier on, that as an organization, the guaranteed funding from the government grant is $36 million, and our salary bill is also $36 million. So what that means is that without dealing with other aspects such as partnership, etc., we would not be able to make the necessary impact. So growth and sustainability looks at ensuring that we get alternative sources of funding, and that the funds that we do have are used as efficient as possible to get the results that we're looking for. So those are the strategic priorities of Productivity SA. I will now go on to look at the programs that Productivity SA is delivering, which is our flagship program. The first one is the turnaround solution, which is an intervention which delivers turnaround and contingency plans for companies that are faced with the risk of financial ruin, extensive job losses, and sustainability challenges. So we make sure that companies are able to stay afloat, and those companies that we assist do not only retain jobs, but they also grow and are able to employ more people. And in terms of the sectors that we focus on for the year ending 2011, the next program that I'll be looking at is the Productivity Organizational Solution. In terms of Productivity Organizational Solution, this is a program that looks at training that gives individuals the right attitude, knowledge and skill to become a more competent asset to the organization. It's also a short-term intervention program for productivity project. So this program is mainly focusing on the training aspect. And in terms of training, it starts by looking at training at an entry level and going to a more advanced training. And in terms of this program, it's having four key areas. The first one being the assessment center. The assessment center looks at analyzing the constraints within the business. So before we can go in and tackle the challenges within the business, we first do an analysis and know exactly where the key problems are. And when we intervene, then we know exactly what the problem is. It's also linked to the program that I mentioned earlier on, which is the turnaround solution of the social plan. Before you can go and assist a company that is in distress, you need to do diagnosis such that when you implement the intervention, those are directed at dealing with the problems at hand. And then there's also an aspect of education and training, where we believe that if we want to see this country becoming competitive, productivity should be incorporated in education. 2 years ago, what we did, which was a breakthrough for productivity, was to help in generating a certificate and a diploma on productivity. But what we are currently are doing is to assist educators in terms of understanding productivity concepts and being able to implement that. And then the third component of this program looked at small enterprise development. So here we're looking at SMMEs as well as cooperatives. This year being the year of cooperative, we've also increased our interventions around this because we believe that cooperatives are key in terms of dealing with the issue of unemployment. They have a capacity to increase the number of people that are employed. So we work with organizations such as SANACO, which deals with cooperatives, in terms of helping as many cooperatives as possible. And then Productivity Improvement Project focuses on organizational productivity improvement. So if an organization wants us to review their processes and look at those processes that are not value-adding and improve on those, then they can engage us as a service provider, and we are able to do that. And then the next program that I will be covering is Value Chain Competitiveness. Value Chain Competitiveness is linked to our vision, which is to inspire a productive and competitive South Africa. So we look at the value chain that can help us achieve this. And in terms of this value chain competitiveness, it has two aspects. The first component is the research. We do engage South Africans at a macro level in terms of the research reports that we are generating, where we say these are the challenges in terms of the productivity statistics, these are the challenges at the macro level, these are the challenges in terms of certain sectors. So it generates and provides decision makers in government, business and labor with information on productivity. In the past month, we've seen this information being used in clothing and textile to look at what improvements have been happening around the issue of productivity and how they should think in terms of salary increases that are linked to productivity. And then on the other hand, we have a program that is funded by Department of Trade and Industry that ensures that companies that are stable continue to grow and they become world-class companies. And then in terms of research, it's information and knowledge generation to influence policy debates and decision-making by investors. So we make an input into those decision-making. We say, look at the productivity component of that decision. And then in moving on to go into depth with the workplace challenge that I referred to earlier, it focuses on improvement of the productivity and competitiveness of companies. So we cluster companies within a geographic area, or we cluster them according to the value added. And secondly, the new focus which we've been given by the Department of Trade and Industry is to increase the competitiveness and therefore employment in the previously underdeveloped regions of the country. That is linked to the key area that I referred to earlier on, that we need to improve provincial footprint. So they have looked at the program and said, you've been focusing on Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN. Now look at going to the rural areas. Look at going to underserved provinces. And then this takes us to finance and admin, and I will hand over to our CFO to take us through the finances and the admin.
Thank you, CEO Mr. Kova, and thank you to Chair of our board, and thank you to the Chair of this committee and then the DG and honourable members. Firstly, we are grateful for the funding that we're getting from the different organizations. As is depicted on the slide, we're getting a total of 77 million split between Productivity SA grant, Turnaround Solutions, and Workplace Challenge. If one depicts that graphically, you will see that the bulk of it comes from the Turnaround Solution, followed by the grant to Productivity SA, and then lastly the Workplace Challenge. And then getting straight into the meat of things, the financial statements, the Statement of Financial Performance, otherwise known as the Income Statement. I'd like to report that overall it had been a good year, moving from a deficit of 1.1 million to a surplus of 9.9 in 2011. And how did that come about? When we look at the different line items, starting with revenue being the transfers and subsidies, one sees that there was a 9% increase from 2010 through to 2011. And then as our CEO mentioned earlier, that although we depend on funding, we don't fold our arms and hope for the best. We also go out there and do consulting work. And that is shown in the next line, where we did a total of 2 million split between sales of goods and rendering of services, and then some finance income on positive balances, and then other operating revenue, and then a little bit of profit on disposal of assets. That then brings us to a total revenue of 79 million. On the other side of the coin, expenses do have to be paid, and chief of those would be compensation to employees. You would see a slight increase in that number from 29 million in the previous year to 32 million. That represents an 8% increase, and that can be explained by the volume of work that we've had to do if one looks at the programs, and if also one looks at the grant funding and the transfers. Goods and services, that line represents mostly payments to consultants and any other payments that we need to make to run our business. Because we operate on a shoestring budget, there are two ways in which we can be efficient with the little kit that we have. We can either get more revenue or try and reduce and be more efficient with our expenses. And this is what has happened on that line of goods and services. It has gone down from 47 million to 36 million. That represents a 23% decrease. And the next line being finance cost, interest being paid to the bankers. Because our bank balance was very healthy, it landed at 12.1 million. So that meant that we didn't have to go out to the banks and borrow. So we used our own funding. And then the next line being depreciation and amortization. As we know that as you use an asset, it loses its value, so we have to show that on the income statement. But you may ask the question, why has depreciation gone down? And the answer is to be found when we go to the balance sheet. That is because the depreciable assets, in other words, your computers and your furniture, the value of those has gone down. Hence, the depreciation has also gone down, which is based on the value of those assets. So that then brings us to a total expenses of 69 million versus 78 million. So in general, it was a good year. I don't know if the 2010 World Cup had anything to do with it. Everyone was upbeat, but the performance did show. And, yeah, if there are no questions, I'll go straight into the statement of financial. Thank you, Chair. As mentioned on the statement of financial position, if you look at that item there, non-current assets, in other words, assets that we will hold for a period of longer than our business cycle, which is 12 months. So property and equipment, we started off with a balance of 846 in the previous year, and now we're down to 731. And the reasons for that would be either if we're selling assets that we're no longer functional, or the depreciation. So it's just with the fluctuation of time, the assets will be written down. Then we've got a next line item called intangible assets that relates to the computer software. That has also gone down. It means that we, through the process of amortization, we've brought them down and we didn't acquire as many intangible assets in the current year. And you might wonder why the next item, trade and other receivables, is under non-current assets, which normally, that category is normally long-term. So if we're a manufacturing concern or a factory, we'd have machinery in that category. But trade and other receivables, that represents a deposit on the lease for our premises. So our landlord says, if you want to continue to use the premises, show good faith, I want to know that you'll be around for the next 100 years, put in a deposit. And we're showing that as an asset because the landlord has not earned that money, it's still ours. The next line would then be current assets, where we've got trade and other receivables. That has also gone down from 1.3 million to 641,000. It still tells the story that because we had cash and because our debtors have paid on time, that is why the balance has gone down. And the next in line would then be your inventories, though that will relate to stationery and all the other material that we use as a consulting firm, if you like, to deliver the programs. And the movement of cash, or rather cash and cash equivalents, it also tells the story that because we've managed our funds well and because the funding has also increased and because our expenses have gone down, we have a healthy balance of 12.1 million. Then that brings us to total assets of 14.5 million compared to 6 million in the previous year. And the bulk of that 14 million is actually cash. We don't have long-term liabilities. All our liabilities are short-term, i.e. they mature within a period of 12 months. If you look at trade and other payables, that is when we require services of consultants and then we pay them whether 30 or 60 days. That has also gone down further, showing that we had cash resources. In other words, we were paying for the services that we were consuming, we were paying within the allotted time. And then when we look at provisions, that has gone up slightly. The provisions would be things like provision for leave pay, provision for bonuses. And the accumulated surplus that I've already alluded to has then moved from 244,000 to a healthy 10.1 million. and total assets and liabilities, 14.5 million. I thought for the appreciation of the committee, this committee in particular, let's look at governance and committees. You have the accounting authority, which is the board that gives direction to Productivity SA. So its roles and responsibilities are more about giving direction, strategic direction, hence the coming up with the eight pillars from the cultural survey. As Productivity SA, we identified the gaps and saw where we were coming short. And each of the eight pillars that CEO went through have got a champion that makes sure that they happen. The board then has the subcommittees, and those are the Audit and Risk Committee and the Human Resources and Remuneration Committee. The Audit and Risk Committee, its roles are to ensure that the entity follows due process, it complies with the laws, and that the internal controls are all in place. Whereas the Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, better known as the REMCOM or HR&R, give direction on matters of employment and labor and remuneration. Then you've got the internal audit, which is outsourced and which further gives independence and also looks at our processes, our risks, our internal controls. An internal audit reports functionally to the Audit and Risk Committee and administratively to the CEO. Then you've got external auditors whose roles and responsibilities are to make sure that the financial statements and the performance information and compliance is fair. So if we speak in numbers, the auditor's role is to make sure that the financial statements fairly present the status of affairs. All those committees have to give report in the annual financial statements, and I'm happy to report that all of them gave us a clean bill of health. So, for example, the Audit and Risk Committee will say that things are operating well, the internal systems are all in order. The accounting authority will look at the year under review, the segment analysis. In other words, because we've got three programs, they'll report on those, on how those three programs have performed, as well as the HR&R committee will also report on how the matters of labor and remuneration have been addressed. The people who are responsible for giving the overall report are the external auditors. They give the independent auditor's report. What they focus on are the financial statements. And the financial statements are in terms of GRAP, which is your generally recognized accounting policies, and GAAP. GAAP would be more relevant to public entities, whereas GAAP will be more applicable to a commercial setup and the Public Finance and Management Act. So when the auditors give an opinion on the financial statements, they would have had to go through those pieces of legislation. And they then report to the Auditor General that the financial statements fairly present the state of affairs according to those pieces of legislation. Included in the financial statements would be the report of the audit committee, which I've alluded to, the accounting authority's report, which is basically the board of directors, the statement of financial position, better known as the balance sheet, the statement of financial performance, otherwise known as an income statement, the statement of changes in net assets, how the net worth of the company has moved around, and lastly, the cash flow statement, which basically shows the flow of cash. Where did the money come from? What did we do with the money? And the opinion on the financial statements was unqualified, i.e., it was a clean audit. which said that the financial statements fairly present the financial position and results according to GRAP and in the manner required by the Public Finance and Management Act. Not only does the Auditor General require the auditors to pronounce on the numbers, but also important are the predetermined objectives in accordance with the Public Audit Act. Those would be the performance information on programs, compliance with the laws and regulations, and internal control. Under performance information on programs, that is what the CEO went through, our workplace challenge program, the turnaround solution programs, and so on. And then compliance with the laws, all the laws that Productivity SA has to comply with. And I'm happy to announce that we've engaged the services of an independent attorney who has gone through all our laws and regulations and given us a clean bill of health on that score. Internal controls, the internal auditors have also given us a clean bill of health. When I say clean bill of health, it doesn't mean that we 150% clean. There may be things when you go to a doctor, he says generally your health is good, but maybe pay a bit more attention on your fitness levels, yeah. Things that you can work with. The opinions on the above predetermined objectives have been that no significant findings on performance information, that is on the programs, no material findings on compliance with the laws, so we are in compliance with the likes of PFMA, and on the internal controls, no deficiencies identified that resulted in a modification of the audit opinion on financial statements, meaning that the internal control was okay, it didn't need the auditors to then modify in any way their opinion. At this moment, I would then like to give to Mr. Bongani-Tova to take us through the highlights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dlamini. I will touch upon the highlights for the year end 2010-2011. The first one is stakeholder partnership in provinces where we've been performing poorly. We're not referring to provinces, but we're referring to the units because, as indicated, when you were previously looking at our numbers, the key focus was in Gauteng, Western Cape, and KZN. But what we have started working on is to target provinces such as Northwest, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And I'm also glad to announce that last week we were in Mpumalanga, where there was a budget speech by the Department of Economic Development, and that for the first time Productivity SA was included as a partner in terms of improving SMMEs and cooperatives in that province. The same thing has happened with the budget speech of economic development in Limpopo, where there was specific mention of our interventions in that province. And then in terms of Northwest, we have strong partnership with chambers within the province, and we started establishing relationship at government level. The key thing about establishing this relationship is that when you work with the economic development, they do not only give you the leads, but they co-fund the programs, and in that way we are able to do more. And then secondly, we save more than 15,500 jobs with the partial funding from UIF. We're calling it partial funding because we got funding late in the year. Previously we were funded by a skills development fund. And then partnership with provincial economic development in KZN and Limpopo, where these two government departments are putting a lot of funding on our programs, and therefore we are able to do more work. So that's been very helpful. And then what we have also been able to do in the year ending 2010-2011 is that we managed to expand Productivity Awards program into the Eastern Cape. Productivity Awards program honors those organizations that have embraced productivity improvement. And we have three categories, one being SMMEs and cooperatives, and then we look at corporate, which is companies that are well established, And we also look at the government department within that province that has done well, and which is then followed by national awards where we look at the best in the country. So we're able to look at the Eastern Cape in the year 2010, and last year we were able to look at Northwest for the first time, and this year we will be taking the awards to Mpumalanga province as we get more support and funding from stakeholders in the provinces. We do launch that, and we are hoping that in the next financial year we will have covered all the provinces, because for this year we will have only left out Free State and Northern Cape due to financial constraints. Earlier on I referred to talent management, and when you look at the talent management, you need to evaluate and say, are you making any improvement? There was a year where we had 22% resignation, meaning we're not able to retain the talent. But I'm happy to announce that there has been a lot of stability and the labor turnover has improved significantly. So last year we're sitting at 6, and even for the year ending 2012, it's still very low, below 6%. And then we have adequate representation of women at senior position. Here we are referring to the executive, but that of 7 executives, 4 are women. And then one of the questions that are often asked is, how do people get to know about our services? And one of the key partnerships that has been very instrumental in terms of getting business to know about what we are doing is South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So they have given us access to all the provincial chambers, and these chambers give us an opportunity to articulate our programs, and that's how they buy in. It's one of the many ways in which you do that. And what we like with this method is that it's cost-effective, because we piggyback on an event that's already there. And then one of the things that were a highlight to us in the year ending 2010-2011 is that we were invited at an AU level to come and be part of the committee that was looking at the productivity agenda in Africa. So that resulted in an action plan being put in place, which will be evaluated on an annual basis. And then in terms of the challenges that we're having, earlier on I was saying, referring to partial funding. Productivity is a turnaround solutions of the social plan was previously funded through the skills fund, and with the skills fund moving to Department of Higher Education, we made attempt to continue to get the funding, but there was no alignment between what we are doing and higher education, so therefore there was no funding. But we are grateful to UIF in that they came to our rescue. Or it be in that financial year, we only got the money in August, but we were able to get money which we use for funding the program for that particular year. So we only did work for about 6 months. And what we have been seeing as a challenge is this program not having a permanent funding. So we're happy to say that we have approached the board of UI in terms of requesting that they look at funding this program for either 3 or 5 years. So we're still waiting for a response. So if we have permanent funding, then we can be able to do a long-term planning on this program, because it's vital to Productivity SA in that we believe that it makes more sense to look at saving jobs than creating new jobs. For a simple reason, that if a company is already in existence, it's got infrastructure, it's got management, it's got a product, it's got a market. So if you tweak the challenges, you are able to turn around that company much quicker and at a less cost than trying to create jobs. So we are hoping and keeping fingers crossed that we'll get the long-term funding for this program. And then the second one is limited resources to market. When you look at the presentation made by the CFO, you will notice that the funding for year ending 2010-2011, the amount of allocation coming from grant was about 32 million, and it matches very closely with the amount that we are paying for salaries. So it doesn't leave us with much space in terms of expansion, so we rely on funding from other sources. And consequently, we are unable to increase our internal capacity. One of the challenges that you see when you examine our financial statement is to say, why are you doing this level of outsourcing? If the guaranteed funding is low, then you need to play it very safe in terms of staff complement. Otherwise, you may run into challenges of not being able to pay those employees. So as guaranteed funding increases, so we will be able to increase our internal capacity. That is the end of our presentation. We've provided more information than what we presented because we wanted to cover our presentation within an hour, and we will allow questions around any slide that is included in our presentation because we wanted to give the honorable members as much information as possible to engage. Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you very much. Your document is so beautiful. And your presentation was actually very informative. But nonetheless, we've got questions. Honorable De Beer, Honorable Groenewald, in that order. The others will follow.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the presentation. Chairperson, there's a few issues which I would just, it might be, just for clarity. Some of them might not be a question. The reason for it, Chairperson, when I listened to this entity, I was just asking this morning, this committee has around about 24 entities. I'm not sure how many of them are based in the Department of Labor. I think it should be the most in this department. But what goes through my mind, Chairperson, when you hear about this entity and you competed with the public protector, I just want to check the average in terms of the how many people will know about this entity. If you took an area like Nobo, if you go to the first house and knock and ask about this entity, and leave all the other houses and go to the last one, people will say, no, we don't know this entity. But if you ask the same question, do you know the public protector? I think more than 50% of the people said we know, because of how they follow and engage through the media in terms of the role of the entity. Although this entity plays a very big role in our country because it's also one of the contributors to our economy and growth in the country. I think that it's a comment, Chairperson. Although the CEO raised the issue of emphasizing that they want to expand to the rural areas and other provinces, I think that is most critical for us. Because there is this assumption of perception in society that this kind of good work only ends in the urban areas, and we see it as being second citizenships in the rural area, in the rural areas. Chairperson, I just want to check is that there was a survey done. Research study done in terms of the relation between the labor legislation and the productivity in our country. There was recommendations. I want to check, do you agree with the recommendation and are you prepared to implement some of those recommendations? Or what is the status of the process? The one critical area is about our SMEs. You know, they are also seen as these role players in terms of job creation. But they went through a dip. I think in the last 5 years, it's run about between 20 and 25,000 people. 25,000 of them just closed shop. because of the economy. And those MSEs who just come from the ground, who didn't even reach a certain benchmark, and just go down. What is the role? How do you? What is your input in this situation? Because it's jobs gone, and one job or 20 jobs gone, it's jobs too much in terms of our situation in the country. And your SMEs, we know that they are playing a great role in terms of their contribution in the job creation. Chairperson, the CEO also alluded to the fact that he gives reasons why he thinks that why they are only focusing in the two or three provinces. It's because it was about resources. So that also reflects on what my first question was, is that how do you expect people knowing about you in the Northern Cape if nothing existing in the Northern Cape? So we are functioning very skewed. We understand the issue of resources, but we must find a way of tracking the programs. I think where is more needed, because there is other institutions also in the urban areas in the Western Cape which contributes on what you're or benchmarking what you're doing, but in that area there's nothing going on. It also reflects in your campaigns, actually. In your campaigns, your campaigns are actually your priority province to dictate, actually, only. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side as well, thanks for the presentation. I think it was of a high level. That's something new for me, the whole entity. So maybe I'm asking some simple questions, but be with me, please. In the first place, I want to know what do you do to stop job losses? You tell us a lot of things now, but you'll see why I'm asking this question later on when we're coming to clothing and textile industries and things, and then I will be asked more about it. And in the document I have, you said that South Africa's performance are much better than the other BRICS countries. Why are you saying that? How? What is the reason that we are at this stage? It's going bad in the industrial side. There's a lot of job losses in South Africa, and then you make this remark that we are doing better than the other BRICS countries. Why are you saying that? You're talking about 36 million rand in the budget, and the most of that money is going to salaries. And then immediately I'm asking myself, but if all the money we've had in our budget is going out in salaries, what are we have at the end of the day to build this entity? I'm worried about that. And then the next question is going hand in hand, how big are the staff? How many people do we have in our in our workforce? Then the clothing and textile industry in South Africa, I think all of us is a bit worried about that. And really, I want to put it here on table. My biggest worry is the importing of clothes from China. It is taking everything over. If you walk in Cape Town, in all our big city streets, it is thousands and thousands of shops from China. And the clothes is cheap, cheap, cheap. And that is a problem for our workforce. Why are we carrying on with importing? I do not know. Maybe it's not on your level. But what are you doing about it? So that we can rather have our own factories producing and manufacture these type of clothes at the same cost.
Why are LPOs so more expensive than of China, of the Chinese? And I'm very, very worried about the influx from China on our industrial and economic side. And then I want to know, especially, and I think this committee is very worried about that, and that is our rural areas. And especially our provinces like the Northwest Province, Limpopo and Mpumalanga, that is where our people is on very rural sites, and that is where our people is suffering. And what influence do you have in these communities and in that areas? I think you've had a very, very big role to play in development and all that kind of thing in our rural areas. You're talking about on page of slide 30, the sale of goods. What is goods? What is it? I want to know what is that goods. Actually, it's from these goods that you're making some profit to keep you alive at the end of the day. What is that goods? You may also mention about assets. Assets is also a very important item or in the whole process of any entity. How are you managing the assets? Do you have an asset register? And what about the vehicles in that asset? Do you have vehicles? How are you managing the vehicles? You might mention of buildings, but it seems to me the buildings is not your own. How are you handling it? You mentioned one building there over a long period. So is there any other buildings in your position or not? Properties, do you have any properties? Yeah, that is it. Chairperson, I'm just asking these things because it's new for me. And then I also want to know on your board, how many members do you have on your board? And from where are all these members? Are they all over South Africa or are they only from one place? And how are you putting your board together? And then what role are the new path, the new growth path? It is you're talking a lot about it, the National Development Plan. How are you involved in, and the youth wage? How are you involved in all these, that is millions and millions of rand in these new things that's coming up in South Africa and plans, and what role are you playing in these plans? And maybe this is not a question, but you can rule me out of order, Chairperson. I also want to know, because we are talking about labor the whole time, what role is COSATU playing in this whole organization? How many members do they have in this organization? And do they have any influence in your organization? And then my last question, Chair, is about the turnaround strategy. In the most of the cases, when people come and address us, they talk about turnaround strategy. And somewhere we must stop with a turnaround strategy and we must go forward. Because if it's a turnaround strategy, it means we stop with something and we start with a new thing. So I just want to know, how long will we carry on with this type of thing of turnaround strategy, and so that we can start moving forward and to build the new South Africa and to create jobs for people and help people to have better lives for themselves. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. If we turn to page 6, on our business. Mr. Goa, I don't know what does that mean, that picture. Yeah, if maybe the picture. Maybe you can explain what does that mean. And then we go to page 12. Interventions in sectors, which is agriculture, civil construction, all of them. If you can give us breakdown of where all these numbers are from. Because I want to believe that even if you are, you don't have offices in these other provinces, but you do service there. So if you can break down these numbers and tell us from which provinces, even if it's not now, if you have them, you can send them to us. Then we go to, you know, these pictures, they make me worried. And because I don't really, don't understand why you put these pictures here. Because if I look at them, it looks like the previously disadvantaged. They are not really visible. If you can look, you can look at these pictures. That's why I said at the beginning, it's very lovely. You know, your picture is so nice. But it has got a different meaning to me. At page 6 also, I don't understand who do you work with. It doesn't say a thing. It actually makes me very, very worried. You have generated diploma, certificate. If you can send us that information, list of the people who achieved, if you can list them per province. And then the clothing textile. I believe that clothing textile is in KZN and Western Cape. Progress. If you can tell us the progress, the quality of the clothing that they are doing, because you assist them in making sure that the quality is maintained, so that we minimize getting this clothing from China. And in the meantime, your delegation actually is also very worried. Mzini Wenzi, if you can tell us in your entity, how many women? If you can really explain to us, bangaki bomama, because manje manizalani zani madoda. The assets that's on page 31, the assets that are no longer usable, to who do you sell them? I think the last one now is on page 36. Also, adequate representation of women in senior positions. If you can give us the breakdown, adequate representation, the highlights of women in senior positions. And then Nina Mara Lagine Aguna a woman. Nimato Dan Pelele. PG. Yaizo. Yababon.
Lucy has born a chairperson,
thanks. I think it needs to be corrected. You saved 15,500 jobs. It's on the highlights, page 36. Also that as we represent provinces, when I go to my constituency, when I go to Hazyview, when Honorable Mabija next to me goes to Limpopo and talk about Productivity SA, if we say you saved 15,500 jobs, we must know where. Singapore, you must be able to say in Siyabuswa, so many jobs, so many people were saved, you know. So if you can really clarify us the companies, which provinces, we will appreciate. Now I'm going to give this opportunity to you to respond. Sorry. On page, page 56 of your annual report. Your annual report. Do you have it? There are more females than male employees, yet the total salaries for males is higher than females. Can you explain this to us? Oh no, that was on your annual report. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Let me start with the last one. It slipped my mind. We're looking at the report for the year ending 2010-2011, and I can bravely say that the situation has changed significantly. One of the things I apologize for is given that we had more board members coming, we reduced the executive, but I guarantee that in future I'll bring the executive. I can bravely say that, Chairperson, we have 7 executive committee members. And of those 7 executive committee members, 4 are women. And the women, our HR executive, which we appointed 2 weeks ago, is a female. Our marketing and communication executive is a female. Our productivity organizational solutions executive is a female. And the turnaround solution executive, who is responsible for turning around companies that are in distress, female. So hence we were able to claim better the highlights. So the situation has changed. It's correct when you want to analyze it in terms of salaries. And this organization has had history, which we had to deal with, where previously it was male-dominated and they were sitting in senior position. So as we have brought more executives, then the situation will begin to change, and when we report in future, it will show the complexion. So you've also, by referring to the financial statement, you've also helped me in answering the question why we say there are more females. So that in total, as well as in Singapore, and I will dissociate myself with something that is not within my control with regard to the appointment of the board members. It's an area which going forward we need to do something about, because currently at the board level, of which I do not have a control, we only have the names. Let me go back.
I think the DG is here and that is noted.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then in terms of the critical question which was asked, it's a question that is often asked, so we need to give justice to it. How many people know about productivity? Say, are we known in rural areas? And the Honorable Member also compared us to a public protector. In terms of making an explanation, the public protector is dealing with issues on the ground. They get a big media coverage without even putting resources into that. For productivity SA, we have to decide between increasing intervention or going on a campaign to create awareness. And would have loved to create awareness throughout the year, but the only month where we do extensive coverage of our activities is during the productivity month. So if we had enough resources, then we would not only use the chambers, the platforms that are provided by the union and the functions held by a government department to create awareness, but we would also be going to the media for creating awareness. And then in terms of addressing the problem of not being visible in rural areas, one of the strategies which we are using, which is cost effective, which came from the board, is work with the labor centers. So what we are beginning to do now is to also ensure that you are well known within the Department of Labor. So in the current financial year, we are targeting, we've already been to Northern Cape Department of Labor, we've spoken to Gauteng, and we will also be speaking to Eastern Cape in terms of going there physically and saying, this is what Productivity SA is doing. Make sure that you pass away such that when we have functions, we also get the support from the Department of Labor. And then
the other thing, maybe that is creating a problem of not being known. I think is you're not talking to the committee. You are not talking to us because we've got constituency offices that you can also use, that you can leak information there for members of the communities to be aware that there is this animal called Productivity SA. So you must talk to us as members of parliament, the portfolio committee, the select committee. If you talk to us, you don't only wait for us to invite you to come to Cape Town.
Okay. Now we'll Chairperson will definitely take advantage of that opportunity that is afforded us. In terms of the second question relating to SMMEs and their key role in terms of job creation, I do agree with the Honourable Member that analysis or studies have shown that the lifespan of these SMMEs is very short. They are intended to create jobs, but some of them don't even go for 2 years. They go under. And consequently, Productivity SA, in partnership with organizations such as CEDA, are looking into that in terms of ensuring that they are productive. And if these SMMEs are productive, then it improves their chances of surviving, and not only surviving, but growing and becoming a formidable force. So we are working with such organizations. The other partnership that we secured in the previous financial year is SANACO. SANACO is an organization that is focusing on cooperatives. And with that partnership last year, we were able to assist more than 1,400 cooperatives throughout the country. And we are continuing to work with them. And one of the highlights, which is not covered yet because it relates to the year ending 2011-2012, is the partnership that we have secured with ILO, International Labour Organization. They have a tool that is assisting SMMEs. They have tried using other service providers, but because they did not have a productivity competence, it didn't work. It was a failure. So they've tried a pilot working with Productivity SA, and this was initiated in a province we would have wanted to work in, which is Mpumalanga, around the Kruger National Park, and it was a success. And in the month of June or July, they are looking at having a graduation ceremony, which will make members aware of. Because it's been a success, then last week they made an indication that they'll put more funding into that, and that we would have to roll out this program to other provinces. What's good about this program is that it has international accreditation. So we will be providing to SMME something that is of international value that will help in sustaining these SMMEs. And then there's also an issue of focusing only on three provinces, which is also coming up from the slides. One of the things we will be reluctant to do is if tomorrow we were to get additional funding, let's say increase it by 20%, the first thing we wouldn't do would be to put offices. But what we would look at is to increase interventions on the ground. So we don't believe so much in offices, but we believe more on interventions. So what we will be doing in terms of expansion, if we can use labor centers within the Department of Labor, we will be looking into that, but increase interventions as opposed to building more offices. But in future, when the state of our finances allow us, then we'll look at establishing offices in other provinces. Through the partnerships we have with the economic development, those ensure that we achieve the targets we have set in those provinces. And then the specific question was also around the Northern Cape, and I'm glad to announce that Northern Cape Department of Labor has been very receptive, it's very supportive of our intervention. And then we have also started a relationship with economic development in that province, as well as chambers and Black Management Forum in that province are supporting our initiative. And what you will see this year, which is different from other years, we will ensure that during the productivity month, there are lots of activities of productivity SA in those underserviced provinces. Productivity month is the month of October. So during that month, we run workshop, we run a media campaign, and there's an increased awareness about what productivity can do in terms of contributing to economic growth. And then the question is, what do you do to stop job losses? In terms of preventing job losses, there is no one size fits all. We don't do one thing in an organization. And when you do a holistic analysis as to what challenges are this organization facing, there are three broad areas that you see. One, it can be because the company is underfunded, in which case productivity SA will help that company in terms of securing funding to be adequately funded. Secondly, it could be that the local market is saturated or they need to change the product range, which is what you are referring to when you say there are areas where we may not be competitive. And I will go on to start answering the question about Chinese imports as to why are we not able to compete. It's not only the issue of productivity. It's not that we're necessarily inefficient, but there's issue of subsidy that is playing a role, and there's also the issue of exploitation of labor in terms of generating those outputs. As Productivity SA, we dissociate ourselves with productivity that is achieved at all costs. We believe in decent work, so we will not support those situations. And consequently, even when we look at good examples of productivity, we dissociate ourselves with those that are achieved at the expense of human dignity. And then in terms of the salary in relation to the guaranteed funding, so it's a correct question, and that's the question that we need to that we use in terms of answering why we are doing so much outsourcing. If, for an instance, let me take this current financial year. In the current financial year, the guaranteed funding from the grant is 36 million, and the estimated value of our salaries is 36 million. And the question is, where do we get money to pay for our traveling and our traveling as well as the land that we're leasing. So you would notice that in the slide, if you can flash the slide, there are other two sources of funding. The only challenge with these other two sources of funding is that they are not obligatory. Firstly, DTI can decide that they are no longer going to fund the program on workplace challenge, which deals with competitiveness. And UI was approving funding on an annual basis. Hence, we went to UI and said, can you look at guaranteeing us funding for 3 years? So if you have a guaranteed funding for 3 years, then you can plan properly. You can look at increasing your capacity because you know that there's an underlying fund. But if you are getting funding only on an annual basis, then you need to play it safe and keep your salary, which is the committed cost, at as low level as possible. So that's the challenge that we are having. And as our financial situation changes, so will we make the necessary adjustment. And then in terms of rural provinces, I partially responded to that question in terms of saying we are going to be looking at rural provinces. We are going to be measuring ourselves in terms of how many projects we've done in those rural areas. And when you look at the future annual report, it will indicate our extent of success. And what I can also share with the members of the committee regarding our experience in going to rural areas is that they are very receptive. So whenever you go there, then you don't struggle. Once you've sold your product, then implementing it is not a problem because they are not competing for resources. It's unlike provinces like Gauteng, KZN, and Western Cape, where you have where there's a competition in terms of interventions. And then in terms of sale of goods and services, although it's an accounting question, I'll try and answer. Within the Workplace Challenge Program, we have toolkits. Toolkits is the material that we use for training. So the companies that are participating in Workplace Challenge make some contribution to that toolkit. Although DTI subsidizes, if it's an SMME, we want that SMME to contribute 10% of the total cost. And if it's a big size company, we ask them to contribute 25%. So there is some money that we are generating, plus other few reports that we are generating internally. That becomes a sale of goods and services. Services would be when we do an intervention in an organization, as the case is now, we are currently doing some work within UIF. And then in terms of assets, one of the things that you picked up as the CFO was making a presentation is that depreciation is on the decline instead of increasing. It's simply because given the limited resources, we are not an organization that automatically replaces assets. So if this laptop has been around for 5 years and is still doing the job, we will keep it and not replace it. Hence, you see. So when we do buy assets, you would notice that given the nature of our organization that we are about consulting and doing services, most of the buying is around the computer equipment. So those that are no longer usable, then we get rid of them and then we buy a new one. In terms of vehicles, given our financial constraint, we only have one vehicle and it's in Midland. So we don't invest in vehicles, or we cannot afford to invest in vehicles. And that
one for all these provinces?
No, in other provinces, we would rather use courier services than invest in a vehicle. So in Gauteng, because of the higher staff complement and the higher level of activity, it does warrant that we have a vehicle. But in the provinces, it's more cost-effective to courier the stuff than to employ a driver as well as have a vehicle. And then in terms of how do we contribute to government priorities, on an annual basis, we do review documents such as IPA. Funders like DTI forces us that when we do interventions,
I see somebody there doing this while we are speaking. I don't know what it indicates to the house. If there is anything, you should say it. Tell them there's a week. That's why I'm raising this.
No, ma'am, it was something else. That she was asking me something else, and I said I don't have it. She wanted a pen. So,
thank you.
Yeah, with regard to government priorities, when you look at when we present the workplace challenge, the DTI specifically requires us to align ourselves to government priorities. So the sectors that we focus on are those that are mainly covered in terms of the EPUB document. And we believe that our contribution towards job creation would be around productivity improvement. Productivity does not only sustain jobs, but it also creates savings. And with those savings, companies are able to employ more. And what we believe in is also studies of countries such as Singapore and Japan with the low levels of unemployment. And that is precisely because they have high levels of productivity. And then with regard to question 11, I'll put my colleague on the spot. We do have a colleague here coming from COSATU. So our board member, Mr. Jonas Musi.
He will not answer.
Oh, he will not answer. Okay, let
I will answer this.
Okay, the chairperson will answer. Let me give hand over to the chairperson to answer how many, what roles are they playing, what influence does COSATU have within productivity. So over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and sorry for that interjection, Madam Wood. I think let me quickly answer that one on the issue of COSATU. As mentioned, that the Productivity Board is made up out of labor, government, and business. And on the labor side, Mr. Mosia happened to be a representative from COSATU. So I think it's just unfair that we put Mr. Mosia in that position, Chairperson. So there is fair representation between government, business, and labor as far as the board representation is concerned, maybe to answer that question. Running through a few other questions, Chairperson, on the issue of visibility, thank you for the constituency offices, and we certainly will disseminate information on that part and various other parts. We also have an in-company productivity magazine that we distributed once every 3 months, and I think that's also a tool that we can use in that dissemination process. A question was asked about survey research study done in the Department of Labor on recommendations. Are you prepared to implement the recommendation? And I'm not so sure what that study was, Chairperson. If we have more information, we can then better answer that question in particular. The question on reasons why we concentrate on three provinces, and I think visibility, that has been answered. Why are you saying you are better than other BRICS countries? I will leave that question to the CEO and the CFO. The biggest worry is importing of clothing from China. I will ask Mr. Mosia to answer that question for us. Sales of goods, assets, and the asset register, the CFO will answer that one. How many members on the board? Maybe just to get into more specifics, Department of Labor have two representatives. There are two representatives from business and two representatives from government. And then, of course, the chairperson. The new growth path and the national development plan, we have gone through some of those questions. And then the turnaround strategy, I think that has been answered as well, but it's not a turnaround strategy for productivity South Africa per se. So it's not a matter of how long will we carry on with that kind of new intervention, as the honorable members have. It's turnaround strategies for those companies that is in distress that we go and give an intervention and turn them around to profitability. As the CEO has explained, that it's so much better to keep jobs rather than lose jobs, as it's more expensive to create jobs from scratch again. So it's the nature of our business to go and turn around companies. So it's not the turnaround of South African productivity per se. Let me then give over to Mr. Mosia on the question of imports from China. Thank you, Chairman.
The quantity outside is maybe $1.
Not Musiwa, Musia. To that day, God. But it's also Musia.
No, thanks, Chair. Can I just start first with the other question that has been raised by Honourable Member Nebald around turnaround strategy? Because he's raising a concern that this means, you know, coming up with new things all the time, and perhaps by extension creating some instability. But as the presentation indicated, this program is about assisting companies that are facing challenges. And the key objective there is to actually save jobs. So this program by the productivity essay is actually intervening to assist those companies that are in distress. So it's a very important program. In relation to Chinese imports, the CEO has responded to that question, but I just wanted to amplify it. And I agree with the Honourable Member that indeed we need to, as far as possible, to create the manufacturing capacity. And the objective I gave is the creation of this network that, as the CEO has indicated. But the other challenge there, Chair, there are many challenges, in fact, and cannot only be addressed through, improving productivity, as the CEO has indicated. There's a challenge of customs fraud there. Of course, SARS is dealing with the shortcomings that are there at the port of entry, for instance. Customs fraud includes under-invoicing, for instance, over and above, the things that make the Chinese imports, insofar as they relate to the textile industry, that the industries are doing that to make their goods more competitive than South Africa. But I don't know. Let me see.
Okay.
And I'm about to finish anyway, but it's okay. No, I was saying to you, there are a number of public entities that actually appear before you, Honourable Member. I'm not sure whether if the International Trade and Administration Commission does appear before the Select Committee, because I'm not sure whether the clothing and textiles industry, for instance, is aware that they can make submission to the International Trade and Administration Commission for trade remedies if they feel that perhaps there is dumping, of cheap products from anywhere else around the world, like the poultry industry did in relation to the imports of poultry from Brazil recently. I'm not sure whether there is sufficient awareness. I'm not sure whether ITEC is doing enough to help in that regard. But lastly, Chair, the industry itself, we are not sure whether they are aware of the incentives that are actually there to improve competitiveness. The Department of Trade and Industry has, incentives to help ensure that the industry becomes competitive so that we can ensure that there are more exports than imports, as is the case now. I just thought I must respond to that one. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. In terms of our slide and what it means, we will interrogate this one and see if we want to retain it or not. But I will start by explaining what it means. Productivity is about inspiring a productive and competitive South Africa. And with inspiration, what we are getting at is that people would listen to what we are doing, get excited and do something about it. And hence, we are showing somebody that is conducting, because when you are exposed to orchestra music, something can get into your system that will inspire you. So you leave that environment very inspired. So that's what we're getting at. But one thing that I'm also sensing, we will also, which is something we believe in as a productivity organization, that we need to also deal with the issue of stereotypes. So yeah, if our slides are saying otherwise, we will look into that. But one of the things that you are seeing, which is different from our slides, which is different from how we used to do things in the past, we are showing productivity as being something that is accessible and that is applicable to each and every environment. It's not limited to manufacturing environment. Previously, you just see a slide showing a manufacturing environment. It applies to service organization. It applies to profit organization. It applies to non-profit organization. It can even apply in church. Church can also be productive. So that's the message we're getting through. But definitely we will interrogate and see if the certain slides whose pictures we cannot improve. And then in terms of information on our interventions, yes, we are sensitive of the fact that this committee deals with provinces. What I'm undertaking to do immediately is that we will provide you with the annual report that looks at two programs, Workplace Challenge and Turnaround. What those reports are doing, they are indicating the split in provinces. They are also indicating by name some of the companies that we have assisted, what were the challenges, what were those outcomes. In addition to that, we will also give you the list of companies that we have turned around during this period. And then in terms of assets that are not usable, we never dispose an asset that is usable as indicated. So this computer, it will work until we'll only dispose of it when it's no longer working. So we don't generate money from selling assets. We never have surplus assets. Yeah, I think I have answered all the questions. If there any question that you think I have left out?
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I just wanted to touch again on the issue of the assets. The question was raised by an honourable member whether or not to keep an asset register. Well, one of the things that the auditors do when they walk into our offices to audit assets, they say, give us a list of all the assets that you have. And then we then produce that list, and based on that, they will then do all the tests that they do. So yes, we do keep an asset register. And if an asset is no longer usable, like a broken desk, if you can't salvage it, either we may donate it to a school or invite a company to come through, have a look at what we've got, and then offer us a fair amount to take the problem away from us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we just respond on one or two more questions?
Okay.
Just on the issue of the process of appointment of board members, Mrs. Cable wants to expand on that, and then I just want to talk to the issue of the picture. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Let's go.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Oh, yes, I just wanted to just expand on the fact that when the board got appointed, definitely the department was sensitive to that. The process is
to
gender, gender representative. The process is with the constituencies themselves of labor, and business. And initially, some there were ladies in the board, but some of them resigned. And when the replacement were done, the constituencies sent the names of men through network. But that was, they were also sensitized on that thing that going forward they should correct that.
If there are no women, you suspend until you get the right women applying. You don't say women didn't apply or women were not nominated. You suspend your appointment until you have the right.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just on the issue of picture chairperson, we take note of your concerns, and it's not as harmonious as it ought to be. We certainly will represent our pictures more harmonious into the future. And then just on the issue of visibility and budget, Mr. Sim Morotoba, one of our board members, want to reflect on that. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Just a number of issues on the budget. Honorable members will recall that the productivity budget at some stage, I think 3 years back, they were in trouble, and a question was raised whether they were going concerned. And that was because all the money that they were given from the grant that we transferred from the department, they spent all the money and they had to wait for the, that is, the beginning of each financial year. They ended up incurring interest from the banks because they went on an overdraft. And there was an agreement with Treasury that Productivity SA should retain a reserve which will remain within their account to prevent that kind of a situation. Honorable members will remember that I think 2 years back there were staff members who complained and made media statements because they were not paid salaries due to the transfer. So that reserve, although the CFO indicates a good balance, but there was a reason that it be kept like that, and it was a condition from Treasury and from the department that even though they can spend, at least each year they must have a certain reserve margin to prevent all the interest that they were paying from the bank. But I must also indicate that we did submit a bid just to deal with this problem of having to go a cap in hand every time, because this turnaround and social plans program was agreed to at NEDLAC, but there was no funding that was allocated. And whilst Treasury agreed to the program, they insisted that education should continue funding because initially it was being funded under the National Skills Fund, but the rest is history because even though attempts were done to continue on that commitment, unfortunately it was not done, which put that program in jeopardy. And like the CEO said, we only started recently with the UIF committee to fund it. And the reason the UIF saw its relevance was that when people lose their jobs, they end up becoming a problem to the UIF because then UIF has to pay them monies sometimes for 4 months or 6 months, and then from there on those people are left in the street. So the board of the UIF felt that intervention is much more important in that it saves jobs and it prevents the UIF from paying
claims as such, and it keeps people in employment. That is why they've agreed to fund it. But between ourselves, Treasury and UIF, we are still searching for a long-term solution, because even though we can have a 5-year commitment, what it will mean is that staff must be employed on a 5-year contract, because if there's no money beyond that, then it may result in serious financial difficulties for the UIF. But we are hoping to find a solution with Treasury and the UIF on that issue. And again, this issue of offices, we've been exploring this issue, and I think it's not only confined to Productivity SA, but it affects all statutory bodies linked to the Department of Labor. And that is that the cost for building offices is very high. And where we have footprint and infrastructure in the provinces, it makes sense to explore partnerships and space for them to operate from those areas so as to save costs, because the money comes from the same purse that we end up having to pay to give to them. And then if you look at the cost, it translates to security, rental, and all that. And if they can operate from the same offices, it makes much more sense. But we're exploring all those options, because even on our side, there are a number of implications around how you go about doing it. And because we know that for Productivity SA, to have offices like the department throughout the country, it's just not going to be possible. Maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, it will cost a lot of money. So those partnerships make sense. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable
Zubia. Certainly, that's one which I forgot to consider. I think it's important. It comes from the response of the President in the House. The President says, for the first time, that the President has a master plan, which knows what goes on wherever in the country and in all the departments. But when it comes to, I'm glad that BG is here as well, but when it comes to finance management systems, I think this institution is outstanding in the way how we deal with the finances. But the question is, how do we deal with these good practices in other institutions, in other entities? Because remember, they use the same PMFM, they use the same CREP, they use the same GAP, GWIPs. But a lot of entities is failing certain to produce such a final product as this institution in terms of their financial management. So what I want to understand is that how did we use this not to compete to each other, but to ultimately render a service effective to our society and also spend or get value for our money which are spending. The other one, said person, was also a best practice in this institution which I see. They managed to retain their staff. What is this ingredients which are using for other departments? Because you also said, no, they're going to go for greener pastures, the money is not good. But how did you really deal with this matter to retain your staff? And how are you able to use this as some of your best practices for other entities? So really, I think it must give credit the way it deserves. So the issue for me is about the staff and your financial management systems for entities. I don't want to use even the word of bailouts. It's something else. But that's on the systems. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. From my side, I would like to hear what you said about BRICS. That one is hanging in the air at this stage. And also about the labor centers. if we are looking into to office spectrum, the labor centers we visit, and that is only a comment, that is not a question.
Labor centers are for the Department of Labor.
Yeah, but can they deal with, if they do better management in that buildings? Because all the labor centers are so big buildings we visit. And there's a lot of space that's not been used in some of that buildings. So if they can get in a relationship.
Can we reserve that one for the Department of Labor, because they will be with us the 20th.
No, we can do it, but I think... Okay, I just put it in their mind.
Yeah.
You can go. Right, and then the last thing, Chairperson, is the vehicles. I'm not happy about that answer about the vehicle, that you only have one vehicle in Gauteng. So it means you are traveling around the province and provinces with your own vehicles. I do not think we can allow it. If they've done so an important job and they must use their own vehicles, it doesn't make sense to me.
You know, this committee has I'm just wondering if when using your own cars, do you claim what is it that is going on? Then if you claim... are you not buying cars in order to get claims? What's going on? I don't really get it right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The first one is about best practices. One of the key goals of this program, which is funded by DTI, is dissemination of best practices. And among other things, what we do in certain provinces where we don't have a cluster, we take one company and make that company world class, and then companies around the area are able to learn from that company. And in terms of assisting in government department, we very much willing to assist, but our services is at a cost recovery. And it's based on willingness of those government departments to accept our services. Currently, we've started a project with UI where we are looking at their processes and looking at how we can add value in their processes. And then in terms of staff retention, how are we getting it right? Because I've indicated that the 6 has dropped to about 5, but I still have to verify that number. What we have done, we have been honest about ourselves. What we did was to get an external company to do a cultural survey, which was 3 years ago, and there were areas where we were found wanting as management. And when we presented that to staff, one of the comments that we made is that they believe that what we're sharing with them was true. And because they believe that we're sharing the truth as is, they were willing to buy in terms of bringing about the change. The way in which we have brought about the change is we took the concerns and grouped them around certain areas which were championed by different people within the organization. Like for an instance, there were concerns around performance management systems, so we got a champion to look at our performance management system to see how it can be improved. There were issues around the learning and growth where there was no proper link between training and improvement in performance. So you need to align your training to attainment of your strategic objectives. So we had to look into that. One of the things that we also looked at, which is also raised in other sectors, including here, was are we structured appropriately for what we are trying to achieve? Among other things, we didn't have provincial focus, so we would have one manager looking at 3 provinces, so which is thinly spread. And we said, if we want to make the impact that we want to make, let's relook at our structure and allocate an individual that will hold responsible. If, for an instance, we're looking at Mpumalanga, when only 20 SMMEs have been trained, we can go to that individual and say, why is it not happening? How can we provide you support in terms of improving that? So we had to relook at our structure. The other thing that we had to look at was at our values, that if we were to leave our values, would it lead to improvement in performance? And we discovered that the values that we're having in place were not talking to what we're trying to achieve. So we had to relook and redraft our values. And then what we also had to look at is what is in it for employees. You can ask people to perform, you can train them adequately, but if there's no reward and recognition that is talking to the attainment of strategic objectives, you look at performance. So we had to look at that as a separate pillar to ensure that reward and recognition is talking to them. We are not at the end of the road. There are still some few challenges, but what I can say is that the journey we have traveled has brought about some kind of result. Relating to competitiveness indicator, what I can share with the committee members is that tomorrow there will be a press release around competitiveness indicators. These competitiveness indicators are as a result of partnership between Productivity SA and Institute of Management Development in Switzerland. There we have South Africa competing with about 58 other countries, so the number may change when we get the final results, more or less, but more or less about 59. And included in those countries is BRICS countries. So what we are talking about now, we will give you the facts tomorrow based on that study. In which areas are we doing well? Which countries within BRICS are we doing better? Which ones are we worse off? And we'll also be engaging in terms of saying, why are we struggling in those areas? What do you expect to see, for an instance, in the report? It will still highlight the issue of unemployment. It will still highlight the issue of skill challenges that we are experiencing. It will still highlight things like issue of technology. It may acknowledge the issue of foreign instant infrastructure, but I will not go into that report until it's released and members are able to engage in that. We will share that report with the members of the committee. And then in terms of, I will not touch on labor centers because of sorry, but in terms of vehicles, when you buy vehicles, you need to ensure that the level of utilization is high. So one of the ways in which you can ensure that you don't over-invest in vehicles is you rather get employees to only pay for the portion in which they utilize it for work purposes. In an environment like Productivity SA where you have limited funding, we believe it's more appropriate to place that responsibility on an employee than on an employer, because if we were to invest in motor vehicles, if for an instance you spend 300,000 on a car, we would rather spend 300,000 on employing more employees, bringing one additional employee than in buying a car. So at the moment it's a scenario that is working for us, but should there be a change, maybe we'll get to a position where we can employ. One of the things I am anticipating is that it's much easier when you are traveling around Gauteng and in the urban areas, but you will be getting complaints when you go to the rural areas, but you will find a mechanism of dealing with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Mr. Nair?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to say on the issue of vehicles, thanks for the concern being raised. We certainly will just take a relook to make sure that everything is in order as far as it is concerned.
DG, do you want to say something?
Not really, Chair. I'm always also just wondering to myself whether I actually should. Except that, thank you very much for the positive comments from members. In observing that the Productivity SA has been doing very one of the things that it becomes a feather in the hat of the productivity SA is the manner in which they're beginning to make inroads in developing partnerships. For an example, Mpumalanga Northwest, those are the key sort of result areas, if I may put it that way. Now, and I think the question was posed about what is it that we can do. I think generally speaking, one of the things that we can do is that we can share these positive experiences with other departments as well, broadly speaking, in terms of how we've gone about managing the resources of an entity such as this one. But also it should be noted that the entities such as Productivity SA, NetLink, CCMA and others have had this particular specific experience on the question of financial management. And I think the track record, the untrack record speaks for itself around that. So we can share this particular sort of best practices with any other entity, be it a state entity or otherwise, but basically within the broader public service and so on. So we thank you very much for that.
Thank you, DG. Let me thank you, Productivity SA. We appreciate the responses, the presentation, and we will also tell other entities about you. So keep it up. Just the issue of the pictures, just improve. If you have Midrand there with the lights, it shows Midrand,
it shows
during the night there are lights. Must also have Mkhuhlu, Zani, not Zani, Vembe. You must show you work the whole of South Africa. Now, members, I'll read the report. The report of the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises on the report and financial statements of Productivity SA for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statement and performance information for 2010-2011, dated 30th May 2012. That the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprises, having considered the report and financial statements of Productivity SA for 2010-2011, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statements and performance information for 2010-2011, RP 165-2011 referred to it, reports that it has concluded its deliberations thereon. I sign members on your behalf. Thank you very much. Who is the mover? Honorable Groenewald, Honorable Mabida, seconded. Thank you very much. Ningakhululeka.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're welcome. Members, we've got the minutes of the 16th May. From the DG.
And all of our ladies being held in the
In my group,
We got the minutes earlier. Can we look at the minutes? Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.